us, man. Let's take this ship.
Good morning.
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 Morning. Everybody okay?
Waking up.
Waking up, yep. I get it. Anybody get outside already yet?
We have tickets for Glenstone today.
For what?
Glenstone?
Oh,
the
what?
Museum in, yeah. In Maryland?
Oh, fantastic. How'd you do that?
He made them 3 months ago.
Wow.
And at the time, I thought friends from Philadelphia were going to be joining me. Anyway, Rob filled in one of the spots. And anyway, we're looking forward to it. Well, you don't, people who don't know about it really should Google it. It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary.
What kind of collection is it?
It's contemporary. It's acres and acres of outdoor space. It's almost indescribable. It's Google it, Susan. It's really extraordinary. And you have to make reservations 3 months in advance.
Listen, and Ellen, I have to do it.
10 minutes.
Can't hear you. Ellen, right, you've got a good day for it.
Well, it's cloudy. Is that good?
But it's not hot and it's not going to be too cold.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah, the last time I was there, it was very hot and that was a little bit less tolerable. But...
I don't think I can think past Monday. I like to think past Monday.
It's almost there.
All right. Well, you could get comfortable where you are. Poke your toe. Say hi to one another. New people. Here's Karen. Hi, Karen. It's nice to be able to be together this way. So this morning, not shockingly at all, in our mindfulness practice, I'm thinking a lot about forgiveness. So I wanted to start with a quote from Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz of blessed memory, just passed away a month or two ago. He wrote, "Time flows in one direction. It is impossible to undo or even to alter an action after it has occurred and become an event, an objective fact. However, even though the past is fixed, repentance allows one to rise above it, to change its significance for the present and the future. It is the potential for something else." So I thought we would just start with that. Let's just sit for a minute, like get comfortable, you're waking up. Out, you've been up, you just woke up, wherever you're at so far in this day, and just like sit with this idea that while our path, right, that's the whole, repentance wouldn't work if we couldn't make some sort of change, but you know, our past has happened, but we are not necessarily bound by it if we change who we are. Right, we can't change what happened, but we can change who we are. I'll just sit with that like general idea for just a moment. Notice your breath. don't judge how you're sitting. You know, you've got your, if you've got aches and pains, or if you've got discomfort, or you're in a new chair, or you're antsy, just be with whatever is in this moment, this morning, on this slightly overcast morning. So of course we talk a lot about and think a lot and do a lot about forgiveness and teshuvah in these days. But what I want us to hold today is that of course this is not something that can happen in just a span of one day or just a few days. We just get more focused on it at this time of year for us and as Jews. So I'm going to try and forgiveness is a complex topic. It's not like I'm giving a lecture on forgiveness. So I want to stick to this morning. First, like as I'm talking, things that are coming up for you in terms of your own struggle, perhaps with forgiveness, with how that's feeling, right? So the mindfulness piece, that's why we're here this morning, is sort of what's going on for us. What is inside? What is the internal work that we want to do? Not so much solving where we're having sticky points, but more noticing what is going on for us when we're asking for forgiveness, when we're needing to offer forgiveness. And how can we be more attentive to our own state? Because that will, our own presence, that will give us more clarity in whoever we are interacting with. So there's a meditation teacher. I read some of his stuff, Jack Kornfield. Some of you may have heard of him. Not a Jewish guy, but like just been doing meditation for a long time. And he's like this kind of quiet, wise guy. I like him. He writes, forgiveness is simply an act of the heart, a movement to let go of the pain, the resentment, the outrage that you have carried as a burden for so long. It is an easing of your own heart and an acknowledgement that no matter how strongly you may condemn and have suffered from the evil deeds of another, you will not put another human being out of your heart. We've all been harmed, just as we all have at times harmed ourselves and others. So like Rabbi Steinsaltz, a lot about forgiveness isn't, it's not about the other person, whether we're granting it or needing it, right? It's about the way we hold things in ourselves. It's about that mindful presence. It's about the narrative that we tell, like the story that we tell ourselves, right? We can change that narrative. So like, and you know, whether if we hold resentments often come with a lot of pain. And so, you know, letting go of blame, being present to pain, we've tried to push away. The more we push anything away, pain or anything else, the more we push something away, the more it's going to come back at us until we actually are with it and can be open to it and can look at it with curiosity rather than judging what it is. Right, so mindfulness, compassion, being open to underlying pain beneath the incident that we've perhaps not been able to forgive or that we've been struggling with. You know, as I said at the beginning, it's not a one-day thing or a 10-day thing. And there's actually, in our traditional nightly prayers, there's prayers for teshuvah. There's prayers for repentance. In our daily prayers, in the daily Amidah, in the weekday Amidah, not on Shabbat because we're not supposed to ask God for things, but the Amidah, the standing section of our prayer during the day, during the weekdays, and silently in the evenings, one of the prayers is teshuvah, is for God to turn our hearts and to forgive us. Slach lanu avinu. Right? Same kind of language that we hear on Yom Kippur, but we actually say it every night. So it's something that we need to pay attention to all the time. We're just immersed in it right now. It helps when we do it as a community, right? It's that sense of accountability, even just sitting here today, right? So even if once a week you sit and breathe, right? There's that accountability of I'm going to show up with other people and feel supported and do that. So Rabbi Menachem Nachum of Chernobyl, a 19th century Hasidic rabbi, his interpretation of the nightly teshuva prayer, he says, be among those people who take stock of themselves each night before going to sleep. Give a nightly account of your sins and repent for them. Know that even a thought of repentance will suffice. For teshuva was one of the seven things that preceded the creation of the world. It is beyond time. Therefore, a single thought of teshuva can sweeten all your misdeeds. I love that grace, right? We have to start, right? We're spending a lot of time perhaps right now. It's really in our consciousness. But what he's saying is even that little bit every day, like just think about it. And that can already bring it, that mindfulness, right? That paying attention to what is going on for us already can make a shift.
Where does he get the idea that it comes before creation? What do you have any idea what that?
I would have to go back and look at which text he's quoting from, but there's a lot of Hasidic text. I can't tell you for sure. It could be Talmudic, it could be Midrashic, but I will find that one out for you.
Okay.
I didn't think to like look at that beforehand. There's a lot of lists in our ancient texts about things that precede the creation, things that were created at the time of creation. I'm venturing it's Midrashic, but I'm going to make sure that I find it out. And I'll email you all.
Okay.
Because that's a great question. And I feel like it's like it not on the tip of my tongue, but like in my consciousness, but I can't pull out where it is right now. So a mindfulness practice, a mindfulness stance, paying attention to where we are, to being curious about our inner experience rather than judging ourselves for our inner emotional experience. Part of what can help us do that, especially at this time of year, and I talking about creation, made me think there's language in our prayers that says God continually renews the work of creation day by day, Mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reshit. That every day is this new opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. No moment that has preceded this moment is like any other moment. This moment is new. In every moment, we can actually act in an utterly new way, unconditioned by previous behaviors, previous behavioral patterns. One of my colleagues, Rabbi Mark Margolius, calls it mindful forgetting. I like that. Mm-hmm. Mindful forgetting. Noticing the past, right? That goes back to the first passage from Steinsaltz, right? We can't change the past as fact, but we can change our remembrance of it and what we forget of it too, right? So how we hold it is what can change. So mindful forgetting, in every moment we have the ability almost to forget, not to be bound by our bad habits, right? If we can pay attention, if we're stuck in them and if we're not looking at who we are, if we're not holding all of that experience with that not detached curiosity, but a non-judgmental curiosity as to what is happening inside of us, right? We can mindfully forget the things that we don't actually want to keep taking with us going forward. That is part of teshuva as well. That is part of repentance. That's part of the turning and the change. So if we can bring that like curious, non-judgmental attention to our habitual relationship with memory, with our thoughts regarding our past, the things we've done, the things that have been done to us, right? We carry that with a lot of judgment. So can we notice instead like the thoughts and the sensations of what we carry? There are things that we experience as pleasant. We judge them as pleasant, right? Because we'll turn toward them. We'll want them, and things that we judge as unpleasant, that we turn away from, or things that are neutral that we don't even pay attention to at all. And we can observe the extent of the hold that they have on us, that memory has on us. And in that exploration and in that noticing without judgment, we can then release the hold that it has, and it can just be, right? And that, so this is one of my favorite forgiveness teachings about how we hold things. You may have heard me share this before. Two monks are walking down the road. You know my monk story? Okay. Two monks are walking down the road. They arrive at a muddy stream crossing, and a well-dressed woman declares without introduction, "Don't just stand there. Someone carry me across this mess." Without pause, the older monk lifts her across. She says nothing, not even a thank you, and goes on her way. The two monks continue their walk all day. The whole time, the younger monk is stewing in his mind. How could he have picked her up? First of all, we're not supposed to touch women or even talk to them. And she was so rude. Someone should have said something to her. She didn't deserve our help. Finally, at the end of the day, when they arrive at their destination and they sit down for dinner, he just can't hold himself back. He says to the older monk, "What were you thinking? She was nasty, and you broke the rules, and she didn't even say thank you." And the older monk smiled and gently replied, "Wow, I put that woman down hours ago, but you've been carrying her all this time." We choose what we carry, and we can pick it up in the moment, and then we can put it down, or we can keep it with us. And that is that's the practice of that's using mindfulness in a practice of forgiveness, because what we choose to put aside is totally in our control. It doesn't change what happened, right? It doesn't change the hurt we may have caused. It doesn't change the hurt we may have experienced, but it does change us in the moment if we don't keep carrying it. If we do something about it, if we have to make amends, it's not about not making amends, not making restitution, not trying to heal something, but that inner experience, right? It happened. How do we carry that inner experience going forward? There are three words. Actually, I'm gonna go on. There are three words for three synonyms that all relate to the the three Hebrew synonyms that all relate to the idea of forgiveness. And they'll sound familiar to you because they're part of our Yom Kippur liturgy. They are Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara. So Slicha, right? You'll hear me chant. Slach lanu, Mechal lanu, Kaper lanu. Right? There's the same three words: Slicha, Mechila, Kapara. And they're just different ways of saying forgive us, but they have different nuances. Right? Slicha is usually translated as forgiveness itself. We say, you bump into someone in Israel, you say, Slicha, excuse me, pardon me, right? And it's the first step that has to be taken if someone has committed a transgression, if somebody has made a mistake, whether it be against God or against people, right? Asking forgiveness is just saying, I am sorry for what I did, I sincerely regret having done it, and I won't do it again, right? The appropriate response to that kind of request, of course, is to believe that the person who is apologizing is sincere and open the door for them to come in and make that first healing. And our tradition teaches that, like, if somebody comes to you and says that and you don't at least open the door for something, that's cruel. That's cruelty. It's not complete healing, but that's the first step. You have to acknowledge that something happened. Slicha, right? I bumped into you. Slicha. Mechila, mechal lanu, we say, pardon, wipe away. Wipe away our sins is what we say to God. Mechila is like wiping away, mochel. It's the response to the request, okay, can we put our relationship back on the level it was on before I hurt you, before I made my mistake? It's a restorative request. Right? Slicha is open the door. But now we still have to do something. Like, everything isn't fine. Mechila. Can we find that place of healing? This is where, especially with mindfulness, like, first, mindfulness, we have to be open, attentive, not blocked off, knowing where we are when someone comes to us to apologize for something, that we don't push them away, that we have that, we create the possibility of someone else being able to come to us with slicha. And we would want that when we go to someone else. Mechila, to make that next step of healing, we have to let go of we have to mindfully forget, right? We have to know what happened in the past, but we also have to move from it. We have to find a way to get past the difficulty of our own baggage and narrative about what happened around us. Now, that doesn't mean when somebody has caused us, it's about the inner things that we're carrying, okay? Forgiveness is all about the inner stance that we take. Are we gonna be the younger monk who carries it even long past when we need it? Or are we gonna be the older monk who picks it up, who deals with it, and who moves on? Does it mean he forgave her? Like, it doesn't excuse someone else's behavior necessarily. It allows us to move on when we've been hurt. Because the only hurt that continues long after the event for us, if we've been hurt, is the hurt that we continue to carry. And it doesn't mean that we have to make everything fine with the person who's harmed us, but we can put the relationship on, it doesn't have to be on high heat. It can be on simmer, on another stove. We don't have to be burned by it. We don't have to continue to be burned by it. Kapara, so slicha, is that, like, the first step of just saying something or something being said. Mechila, can there be, is it healing? Can we come to a place where we're not both carrying a huge amount of hurt and anger? Or at least I'm not carrying a huge amount of hurt and anger, regardless of which side I'm on. I can't help anybody else, but I can help myself. Kapara, from Yom Kippur, it's the same Hebrew. So we translate that as atonement, right? Yom Kippur, our day of atonement. Kapara is the step that is the response of when I've, the person who says, my conscience won't let me live with myself because of what I did to you in our relationship. It's our innermost experience. It's beyond the actual relationship. It's about the offense to God that we are guilty by not treating one another properly, right? You've heard the Talmudic passage that says, Yom Kippur can atone, can make atonement for sins between people and God, but Yom Kippur cannot grant atonement for sins between people until they have made peace with one another, then God can grant atonement, right? This is kapara. Kapara is the, it's the inner, I've not been the person I should be. It's not, I've done something, but that's not the issue. Now I have to deal with who I am, what I've done or what's been done to me, but I need to work on me, and that's between me and God. That's only, God can only grant atonement and release when, once I've done those other pieces, right? And that's Yom Kippur. So the teshuva all year long, like the making amends, we shouldn't hurt somebody and then like not deal with it till Yom Kippur. We joke about that, right? It's on my list, right? The things I do and they're on my list for to confess at Yom Kippur. But the reason we have teshuva all year long is because we need to make that reparation. But for sure, we make sure that once a year, like when we've done that other work, we've paid attention, we have offered slicha and accepted slicha, we have offered mechila and accepted mechila, that we can stand before God and say, okay, here's my accounting. Does it mesh with yours, God? And how can I help? How can I help myself be better than this? Right, God, it's that God doesn't forgive us until we ask for and give forgiveness between people. We have to do that work first. And so in a sense, you might actually think, and you wouldn't be completely wrong, that if somebody actually comes to us, even if we're still, well, here's the thing. If somebody really harms us and comes to us and is sincere about asking forgiveness, Judaism would say that if we don't grant it, we're actually getting in the way of their spiritual development. Now, that doesn't mean we have to like the person anymore. It doesn't actually mean, depending on the harm caused, that a relationship may not be able to be restored to what it was. But it still can be restored to a place where it no longer causes us harm. Right? Because if we keep carrying anger, guilt, blame for something that was done to us, we're still getting harmed. We're still getting harmed. And so it's important for us to learn how to let that go and then to be able to grant that to the person who we have harmed, right? And to be able to know that we can ask for that, again, not with necessarily depending on the offense that everything is restored back to the way it was, but can we come to a place where no more harm is being caused? So, let's sit. I've put a lot out there. I'm sure that, I don't know, is there something I've said that somebody is particularly struggling with or wants to challenge on or wants to ask more about before we sit for a bit? Okay, so find some comfort, find some support from where you're sitting. Because what I'm gonna, a little bit more of a guided meditation than just a sitting with what arises. Though, the mindfulness practice is still like, whatever arises, look at with curiosity, without judgment. If nothing arises, don't berate yourself that nothing arises. Oh, look, my mind's kind of drawing a blank right now. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why. And just come back to your breath. If you feel distracted, just come back to sitting with your breath. Let my voice just be, you know, white noise and an annoyance, or it's guiding you to something. But see if you can hold whatever arises with curiosity, with non-judgment, with just being where you are in this very moment. So imagine or call to mind, if you are able, and if you're not, That's okay. But call to mind a time in the past year that you acted unskillfully. Don't judge, just whatever first arises for you. That you acted unskillfully. Whatever that is, allow yourself to feel that weight of responsibility. See if you can feel where you feel that weight in your body. And you can think, if I in any way was a cause of suffering, whether consciously or unconsciously, I ask forgiveness. The situation that you are holding, the incident of being of that unskillful action. And as you hold that weight, can ask forgiveness for your lack of understanding. Can ask forgiveness for making mistakes. Say to that person or that situation, I forgive for causing pain and suffering. I ask for forgiveness. Now you can put that unskillful moment, hold it and put it to the side when you acted unskillfully. Now, bring up a time perhaps in the past year where you have felt hurt. Again, allow yourself to fully inhabit the feelings that arise with that. Notice those experiences without judging them. The experience is in the past, and you in this present moment have the ability to let that hurt remain in the past. To say to yourself, if I have been harmed, whether consciously or unconsciously, I offer my forgiveness. To that person, to say, I forgive you for not understanding. I forgive you for making mistakes. To that person or people. I forgive you for causing pain and suffering to me and to others. I am letting that hurt go. And then there are the things that we just judge ourselves for. So perhaps bring to mind an inner experience, a sensation, a moment where you have judged yourself harshly. Even the harm has been perpetrated by you and felt by you. You are the giver and the recipient. And so now imagine or feel yourself receiving forgiveness for what you've done to yourself. And say to yourself, I forgive myself for not understanding. I forgive myself for making mistakes. I forgive myself for causing pain and suffering to myself. Breathing in, receiving forgiveness, breathing out, offering forgiveness. This journey that we are taking together is a lot of inner work. So know that when we are together here, I believe we are all sort of helping and supporting one another in all of the work that each of us wants to be doing. So remember, like this picture, when you're perhaps sitting in at a time or a moment and feeling a little, I don't know, despair, or feeling you just can't quite pull it together, like there are other people out there who are holding you in your, each of you in your hearts and in their hearts, that I think it makes it a little easier to get through every day. So that is my offering for this morning. Any thoughts or questions?
I think that for me, the hardest part is forgiving myself. And it's something I never, ever thought to do. So thank you for the opportunity to think about it. Because the guilt that you have over certain things are not, I don't share them with even my closest friends. Mm-hmm. So thinking about that and trying to let it go is, for me, very powerful.
Thank you for sharing that, Phyllis. Well, if you fast, have an easy fast. If you don't fast and can't fast, the purpose of fasting is to help us focus, is to take away other distractions. So there are ways to eat mindfully that so that it's not a distraction. Change your timing, your pattern, what you eat, how you eat. Give yourself the ability to spend the days ahead paying attention to where we're at. I think it's a gift of a time of year to really stop and take stock of who we are and who we want to be. And just as a little plug, pay attention on Yom Kippur to our schedule, because you actually need to use your mindfulness to prepare and choose in advance what you want to do that day, unless you just want to just sit, which is okay. But if you want to participate in the community, you're going to need to pay a little extra attention, because we've changed up the day a little bit. And since Michael has now come on the screen, I will do a little shameless plug for the guided meditation that he and I are going to do Yom Kippur afternoon. I think it's at 4:15, but it's on the schedule. So take a look. There's some really interesting ways we can experience the holiday together this coming Sunday night and Monday. Wishing you all blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Shana
tova. Shana tova. Shana tova.